Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for faith builders. You'll find daily good news reflections on the Scriptures of Mass, written by Terry Modica, to help you in your everyday life and struggles. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Thanks for downloading our podcast, Manage Your Money God's Way, hosted by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching the best practices for handling money. In the Bible, you're going to find 2,500 verses that speak directly how we should be handling money. We use these biblical principles as part of our small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can preview this Bible study and see how we can help you eliminate all of your debt. Go to compasscatholic.org. In our weekly meeting where we discuss what today's topic will be, Evelyn brought up meeting a mom at a conference they spoke at recently in Wichita. That discussion was about this mom's son, and that led to today's topic. And this is a topic that we have been asked dozens and dozens of times over the year. Simply, should children get an allowance? So Evelyn, take us through that conversation, and then we'll offer advice on an allowance for your child.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were at a conference, and we met a mom who was telling us that her son and daughter started a dog walking business when they were young. And mom and dad taught the kids how to save their money and manage money wisely. As the kids got older, mom and dad gave them more and more financial responsibility.
So the end result to this story is that the son is getting ready to graduate from college, or he's just graduated from college, with no student debt, zero. His entire college experience was funded by scholarships, and get this, money that he saved. But here's the kicker. He has $100,000 in the bank as he graduates from college. What a wonderful way to get a head start on life.
You know, and I think that just goes to prove that the younger you start and the more you save and the longer period of time it has to grow, the more that money earns interest on the interest, and you get that magic compounding going on.
Money grows?
Money grows if you save it and leave it there.
Wouldn't it be just absolutely wonderful if every young adult was so financially responsible?
What about if every old adult was so financially responsible? I mean, we see people in all age groups that are financially irresponsible, but we really believe that the earlier you teach your children how to handle money and make them responsible for their own financial decisions, the better off they're going to be when they strike out on their own and have to manage money on their own.
So I think that we're going to be able to give you some good tools to use to be able to teach your kids how to manage money. And the first one is give them an allowance.
That's really important. The second one is expect them to do work around the house simply because they're living in the house and they're part of the family. So don't tie the allowance to work around the house.
And give them opportunities to make money, to earn money, more than what they're already getting in their allowance. So you know things that they're expected to do around the house, and that's all kind of their allowance, but you don't tie those things together. But if you give them opportunities outside of that, like washing the car or, you know, things like that.
And the fourth thing is to monitor and coach them as they make both good decisions and bad decisions. It's really important to help them figure out, if they made a bad decision, what went wrong and what they could have done better. and if they made a good decision, help them realize that that's a good learning thing.
But as a parent, are you guiding them the whole way, giving them...
Definitely.
Okay, so it's not...
It's not, here's your money.
Here's your allowance.
Here's your allowance. There's the door.
Okay. No. But how much do you monitor them? Let's take some kids that get an allowance and just blow it. They don't care about saving it. Do you put stipulation on the allowance that a certain percentage has to go towards savings?
Definitely. And we're going to be talking about that.
Okay.
Yep. And it's also a good idea to, if they make those mistakes, to figure out how they can make up for the mistake they made. Don't step in and rescue them with money. So let's start by talking about the purpose of an allowance and what an allowance is used for.
Well, primarily, an allowance enables a child to experience the real world of money management. Why are you giving them that money? Not so that they have it to spend. I mean, that's the end result, but one of the results. But you know, you want to teach them, lecture them, all that. You can do all that kind of stuff. But the best way for them to learn is just to get out there and do it. Swoosh, just do it.
You know, we read some research on school-based financial literacy programs, and basically the issue with them is that classroom instruction is too theoretical, and the best way that kids learn is to have real money in real-life situations, and that's how they learn. And unfortunately, that does mean making mistakes.
So you got to allow them to fail, and that's probably the hardest thing to do as a parent. You know, you can be in the background and you can be a cheerleader and you can be a coach, but, you know, you can't swoop in and with an extra $20 the first time they spend all their money on a bunch of junk and they don't have money for lunches or whatever.
We were talking earlier about an allowance should not be given based on kids doing work around the house. And I totally agree with that, John, because I think that teaches the child to not do anything around the house unless they're paid for it. Because people think that's how it works in the real world. Unless you're working for money, you're not getting any money.
I absolutely agree with it. Nobody's just going to hand you money and you don't have to work to earn it. People say kids should receive some money simply because they're part of the family. An allowance is kind of part of that, but they've got to do some chores. You know, they may not be able or be willing to do anything around the house if they're not paid to do it, and that's not a good lesson either.
So the best solution is somewhere in between. They have to be given an allowance, and they have to be expected to do certain things around the house, but it has to be a balancing act between those two.
So those things around the house are not tied to the allowance?
No, I think you still get your allowance even if you don't do those things. So they should be expected, they should get an allowance of some amount. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they should also be expected to do certain chores around the house. Like even a young child, as young as 3, can put napkins on the table or put forks or plates on the table, especially if you have plastic plates. Or the older kids can be expected to mow the lawn or wash the car or reorganize the garage. But it's important for them to have chores to do in addition to getting an allowance. And then in addition to that, there's the chores where they can earn extra money.
Yeah, yeah. And if they're not doing the chores that are expected, you don't take their allowance away. You take other privileges away. In other words, you can't go out on Friday night or, you know, whatever.
Watch your favorite TV show, game time.
Take the devices away, you know, those kinds of things. But it's not associated with the allowance itself because you're trying to teach them how to manage money. And if you get it all muddied up with chores that you're supposed to do and, you know, and all this kind of stuff, then it creates a big problem.
So you're really trying to teach them how to do things, how to be responsible and do work around the house and how to manage money.
Yes.
And I think the key here is to keep their allowance low enough so that they're still motivated to take on additional chores to earn extra money for the stuff that's over and beyond what they can afford on their allowance.
Well, there's got to be some motivation to get out there and do things.
But if you give them all the money they would ever need in their allowance, then there's no motivation there.
Right, right. Or the allowance is supposed to pay for so much stuff that they still are motivated because they don't have enough money to cover all the things that they want to do. You know, if your allowance is going to pay for your clothes, and this is for older kids, okay? But if your allowance is going to pay for all your clothes and all your entertainment and your school lunches, and you're getting $30 a month, maybe that's not going to happen.
But you used a key word in the beginning of that sentence, all the things they want to do. So the allowance should cover the needs that they're responsible for, like maybe lunches.
Clothes.
But maybe not entertainment. So it's a good time to discern between wants and needs when you're teaching them that.
Absolutely. So the other thing, the other key to teaching kids about money is for mom and dad to coach them as they learn, as they make mistakes, and along with their successes.
So I think the key here to have mom and dad doing that for their kids is that mom and dad need to be financially responsible.
Well, let's don't put too many qualifiers in this, Evelyn.
I mean, you can't expect your kids to be responsible with money if you aren't. And if you don't know how to be responsible with money, how can you ever teach your child to do that? So mom and dad have to have some level of fiscal knowledge before they can step into this.
I agree with you, because too many times I've seen where parents just throw money at the kids just to keep them out of their hair. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that's how they operate too. They just toss money out on impulse stuff.
I was in a store one time, and a child was asking mom to buy him something, and she said no. And it was one of those, oh, mom, you know, whiny, whiny. Mommy kept saying no, no, no. And the kid finally just looked up at her and said, if you don't give in, I'm going to keep whining, and you're going to give in eventually.
Smart kid. So he's done this before.
My mother would have knocked me into next week if I had said that to her. I mean, what about your mom? I can't imagine your mom.
As my father would say, you want to wear your teeth as a necklace?
You know, as parents, when we're teaching our kids about money, if they're going to make a mistake or after they've made a mistake, don't lecture them. Don't tell them what to do. You need to teach them by asking questions without giving them the answers or lecturing them or berating them for making a mistake.
So you took our 18-year-old grandson shopping, gave him choices of what to buy. How did you handle that?
Well, I told him how much money he had, and we knew what was on the list, so we looked through the store and just kind of shopped around. In the first place, there wasn't much that fit him, so it was pretty easy, because we were there 2 days before school started because our schedule was so crazy, because I take the grandkids shopping for school every year. So there wasn't that much to pick from, so it was his choices were rather limited from the get-go. So that wasn't bad, but he knew how much he had to spend, and he made the decisions on his own on what he needed and wanted. And he took several things back that he tried on because he said, I have something like this at home that's almost the same, and I don't really need this. So he definitely knew needs versus wants.
Did he overspend or underspend?
He was right on target.
Needs and wants. Teaching your child the difference between needs and wants can be challenging, but a lesson they will carry with them for the rest of their lives and hopefully keep them out of financial danger. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries. We teach what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. Are you struggling financially? You've got some massive debt, even small debt? Well, check out our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Go to compasscatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and take a look at Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Today, we're attempting to answer the question, should children have an allowance? Now, Evelyn, your child receives an allowance, and as a responsible parent, you teach them how to handle that money and the responsibilities that go with it. But what's the best way of communicating this?
You know, I think the best way to help kids learn is to ask them questions without giving them the answer. So if you ask things like, well, why do you think that $30 shirt is such a good deal? Or how about this one? How do you plan to eat lunch at school since you spend all your lunch money on video games?
Bad question. You already know the answer to that.
Well, no. The thing is, they can make their own sandwich at home.
Oh, okay.
Mom and dad shouldn't give them money or make the sandwiches for them.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that.
Buy a whole bunch of stuff. But that's the key in letting them suffer the consequences of their decisions.
I'm going to get up and eat a big breakfast, Mom.
And you're going to cook it for me. How about this one? Would you rather have one pair of really expensive jeans or three pairs of less expensive jeans? So if they decide to spend on something foolishly, let them. I mean, the best way for them to learn is by making mistakes. That's how we learned, right?
Yeah, I think they may call your bluff the first time.
Oh, yeah.
But I think they'll learn the lesson.
The key is not to rescue them. I mean, it's better for them to make a mistake by buying a $30 blouse rather than a $300,000 house, right? Yeah.
So how about give, save, spend? You know, allowance presents a great opportunity to teach kids how to give, how to save, and how to spend. I think we should be proactive about coaching them and helping them to learn what to do with the money that they're going to receive. If they gain experience when they're young, and they learn how to give and save a percentage of every dollar they receive from the beginning, hopefully those habits will stick around as they get older and earn more.
You know, I was reading something online and it said that John D. Rockefeller once said, "I would never have been able to tithe on my first million if I had not first tithed on my salary, which was $1.50 per week." So basically he's saying, as multimillionaire as he was, that he learned how to give when his salary was $1.50 a week. Now that was back in the...
Yeah, when he was earning $1.50 a week, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, but still, if you don't learn when you're little, you're never going to pick it up, or it's going to be a lot harder to pick it up when you're older. So the key is, on day one, establish guidelines around giving and saving.
Yeah, you can use piggy banks or jars where at least 10% or 20% of every dollar is given towards charities, and a certain percentage is set aside for savings. And some people think that you should teach the kids a 10-10-80 approach. Give 10, save 10, spend 80. You know, kids, they don't really have that many expenses when they're little. I think the expenses should be higher. 10-10-80 should be more like 20-20-60 or 20-40-40 or, you know, something along those lines. I think it'll have a greater impact down the road.
Yeah, if they save a lot more in the beginning. You know, and the other thing is, so many kids take their birthday money or Christmas money or money they get for communion or confirmation or whatever and just blow it. Just imagine what would happen.
And they get stupid amounts of money. It's unbelievable. I think grandparents have lost their marbles.
And I really believe that's where the bad habits start.
I wouldn't think so.
Because you do that year after year after year on your birthday. You just take for granted, what I get, I can blow.
You know, and as the kids get older, be sure to give them more and more financial responsibility. You know, we were talking earlier about the fact that I take my grandson school shopping every year. And we start out with a list from their mom on what they need. I give them a budget and we discuss what they need to buy and how much they're allowed to spend and maybe which stores are available for the types of things they want. And it teaches them to consider what they want, because they're responsible for the money. I'm just not going to give them a blank check and let them blow it. They have a certain amount of money, and if they know they need to get underwear and socks and jeans and shirts, they're really careful shoppers because they want to get as much as they can out of that money. But, you know, they've learned a lot about comparison shopping, the stores to go to, looking for sale items, using coupons, and that sort of thing. So it's been, and plus it's some kid and Mimi time, so that always helps.
You know, one of the questions that we get is, when should I start and how much should I give the kids for an allowance? And I think that's a question that a lot of parents really struggle with, because they don't know how soon, you know, should my four-year-old be getting an allowance, or do I wait until they're in the first grade or second grade, or you know, what's the story there?
When do they have the concept of money, as far as, you know, a penny? They're excited about finding a penny. I mean, do you wait until they have an idea of what?
I'm still excited when I find a penny.
Only if it's face up.
I know. When I said that, I thought, you're the wrong person to throw that one to. But, I mean, do you wait until they have an idea of what the power of money?
I read an article that said researchers found that kids can begin to see money as a means of exchange as early as 2 years old.
Right. No, I understand that. But do they have any idea what it means?
No.
The value.
Yes.
Yeah,
value.
But that's why you have to teach them. I mean, how many two-year-olds have you seen having a cow in the store because they want a candy bar?
Right.
Start teaching them then. You know, mommy, daddy can't afford it, or do you have money, or
okay. Whatever.
But I think you're better off erring on the early side rather than waiting until later. I think you can start as early as 3 or 4. But they certainly should have some exposure to spending money probably by the time they're in kindergarten.
Well, I would think that kindergarten is a good a good age that you could start? I was thinking about our three-year-old granddaughter, and she'll start VBK next year, but I don't think she really has the concept of money yet. I mean, I know she knows it exists, but she has no concept of what to do with it or how much value it's worth.
Well, you've never played store with her and her plastic money and the plastic groceries. She makes sure she gets her money for that. And she makes you put back the shopping cart when you're done. You know, the other question parents often have is, what's the appropriate amount for an allowance? And a good way to base it is either on the child's age or their grade.
So if you give it to them on their age, maybe a five-year-old would get 50 cents per year. So, you know, at 50 cents times five, that's $2.50 a week.
Oh, 50 cents for their year. I thought you meant all they get is 50 cents a year.
No.
I'm thinking, wow.
No, we're not that cheap, Steve. Close, but not quite. So what does it look like if you base it on their grade?
Well, it would be like you get a dollar per grade plus one. So if you're going into the first grade, you get two.
Okay.
So $2 a week.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's about the same for first grade and...
Yeah. And five-year-old. It's close. Yep. It's close. I think the amount has to be low enough so they're not going out there and blowing wads of money. But at the same time, it has to be enough to allow them to learn something by spending it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. If you're giving them 10 cents a week and they can't buy anything with it, it doesn't mean anything to them.
But by the same token, if you give them $2.50 a week at the end of the month, if you haven't taken them to the store, that's one way of getting them to save, they've got $10 left, you know, that they can spend. So now you have a quandary. How much of that $10 are they going to be able to spend? And if you've established the percentages or the ratios up front, then it makes it simple.
But no matter what you give them, you're educating them throughout this process.
Yes.
On how to use it, what's it mean, the responsibility that you have now that you have money.
And you need to say, well, if you want that, you need to save your money.
Now, do you repeat this over and over?
Over.
Okay. I think you have to.
And over and over.
You have to.
And over and over.
The other thing is, you're teaching them math.
Well, that's what I mean. Do you do monthly meetings? Like, I don't want to say on their budget. Like, this is what we've given you this month. How did you spend it?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. And one of the things I like is the birthday. You know, we did a podcast a few weeks ago about birthdays on a budget.
Right.
And we talked about having the birthday be a milestone in a kid's life. Mm-hmm. And that's a great time to up their allowance and up the responsibility they have with the allowance. So as they get older and older, you gradually transition from a weekly allowance at $2 a week to a monthly allowance at $100 a month, and they have to manage it totally by the time they're in high school, a senior in high school.
And you're also increasing the amount of things that are responsible
yes.
for purchasing.
Right.
Because $100 a month is one heck of a lot of money.
Yeah. But if they're buying all their clothes and their school lunches and their entertainment and their school
And by that time, they have cell phones, maybe car.
Yep, so maybe they have to buy gas, insurance. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do it. You just need to do it. You don't want to keep putting it off and putting it off, because then they're off to college and they're using a credit card that mom and dad are funding and they're not learning anything.
But teach them the whole time.
Yes. It's always about teaching them. Like the Nike commercial says, just do it.
So get started now. Make adjustments as you see fit. And as your child learns and grows, gets older and older, and the earlier your kids begin gaining experience managing money, the better off they're going to be as adults.
So you want to get them to the point where they're totally financially responsible for all the things they spend money on by the time they leave the house and either graduate from high school or go to college.
Yeah, the only way for them to do that is for you to start training them when they are young. And there's a Bible verse that says just that. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart from it.
excellent verse, John, to end today's show, and it's true. Teaching them at a young age to value money, the importance of saving, starting at an early age, setting aside enough money every month to make sure all those expenses are paid, and of course, the benefits of giving. Now, if you'd like to share this show with a family member or a friend, simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and click on podcast. And before we leave today, let's get to a couple of emails that we received this week. Here's number one, John and Evelyn. We recently sold our vacation home at quite a profit. My husband is already retired, and I'm within a few years of retirement. After tithing and paying off the house we live in, what should we do with the rest of the money?
Wow, that's great that you were able to sell your second home at a nice profit. Congratulations. First, you should check with your tax preparer to find out what kind of capital gains that you're going to have and set that money aside in a money market fund so you'll have it available when it comes time to pay taxes. And then I would suggest taking a look at the Compass Money Map. You can download it on the compasscatholic.org website, and it's free. Take a look at it and complete any of the destinations remaining on your journey to true financial freedom. For example, if you have any consumer debt, pay it off. You want to keep your cost of living as low as possible as you go into your retirement years.
All right, John and Evelyn, here's email number two. If you have online banking with your checking account, is it necessary to balance your bank account?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Always.
All the time.
I think you kind of get the drift. Just because you access your banking balance in an online format doesn't mean that the bank can't make some mistakes. It's always a good idea to keep your checkbook balanced, whether it's in paper or online or maybe a little bit of both. And it helps you to stay on top of your finance if you're balancing it each month. Mistakes are much easier to fix if they're caught early. And I would even add that you should be balancing your credit card statements too, making sure the receipts charged match the receipts that you've kept.
True words of wisdom. John and Evelyn, thank you so much. Now, if you would like John and Evelyn's help, maybe you have a financial challenge that you are experiencing and you'd like to get some advice from the Beans, by all means, send them as many questions as you would like. Here's the email address. Ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Don't forget to check out all the free resources we have available on our website, compasscatholic.org, namely the free calculators. You can manage your credit card debt. You can look into the future, what it will take for you to retire. How much should I save between now and that magical date that you've got in mind? Also, if you're looking to buy a home, how much home can I afford? And what is an estimated monthly payment? All that available on the use of our calculators, compasscatholic.org. Click on resources. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we have a brand new podcast for you each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on podcast, and it's waiting for you.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.